Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you'll find this encouraging. Thank you and God bless.
All right. Always good to be with you guys. While we have many things I want to look at with you in the scriptures today, several years ago, as I've shared periodically, I had an opportunity to go to Africa, and when I was there, during the day, we were seeing the Lord bring a lot of people to the Lord and a lot of dramatic miracles. And I was also seeing children that had, their parents had died from AIDS and they had hardly any clothes and stuff. And so there was this intense emotional stuff that I was going through. And as I would go back to the place I was staying at night, I would be reading the Bible and looking for getting ready for the next day. And the Lord kind of drew my attention to a passage that I want us to begin with today. Would you grab your Bibles in whatever form you have them, and let's go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Now, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, we have Jesus actually beginning to describe the idea of what's going on in the world and how the kingdom of God comes near mankind and begins to show us the compassion and the mercy of the Lord towards us. And it basically says this in verse 35, "And Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogue and proclaiming the kingdom and healing every disease and affliction." All right, this statement where it says Jesus went to all the cities and villages, he got my attention one night as I was in Africa looking at that, and he asked me a question that I had never considered before. He asked me, "Now what happens when I go into cities?" Now, think about that for a lot of times we get to the passage and we're trying to find the relevance of the teaching or trying to get insight, but I had actually never thought about that. When Jesus comes to a city, here is a king that is coming into a region, and when a king comes into a region, it's not only to show the mercy of God, it's to establish his authority. And I stepped into something that I'd never seen before, that when the kingdom of God comes towards a city or an individual, there's a certain thing that this king and this kingdom does that's very dramatic, and so it's what we call a pattern of the kingdom to love a city. Now, there's a certain way that God comes to cities. A lot of times, a lot of people believe that the way God comes to cities is he gets the whole city to repent. But we're actually going to see here that when Jesus comes to cities, that's not what he does. He actually goes the exact opposite way that we think he should when he comes to a city. And what we're going to look at is what are some of the things that God does to love your city, to recognize Jesus as King of the universe. Well, what we want to do now is back up and go to Matthew chapter 8. So let's go back a couple chapters. Matthew chapter 8. And what we're going to see here, we're going to specifically look here at Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. And I'm going to read this scripture to you, and then we're just going to stay in chapter 8 of Matthew and look at several different examples of Jesus doing stuff in a city to get the city to actually come to the Lord. He's actually causing the whole city to turn towards him. And the way he does it, again, think about this. The way that I would do it, based on our culture, is I would go into the city and I would say, "Hey, you know, Jesus is the Son of God." But the way he does it is completely different. Here in verse 17, Jesus, which we're going to look at here in a moment, Jesus is now fulfilling a prophecy of Isaiah. And it's Isaiah 53. Now, this is very important. In Isaiah 53, a prophecy is being given about the suffering servant. What is the suffering servant like? And it begins to describe what's actually going on in your life, and then beginning to describe how he's going to suffer because of what's going on in you. And so in Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5, it says this, and this is the fulfillment of here in Matthew. It says this, "He took up our infirmities and he carried our diseases." Now, in Isaiah 53, it's given a concept here that in the Old Testament, when they used to sacrifice animals, the idea was is that animals, you laid hands on them, and whatever you had done, sin or disease or whatever, was placed upon that animal so that God could come and minister to you. So when it's using this language, "Surely he bore our infirmities and carried away our diseases," now here Jesus has died on the cross. Man's sin has now visited him, and the punishment of sin, which is infirmity, disease, sicknesses, curses, demonic spirits harassing mankind. It's called the chain of destruction is destroyed in all its different variances. And the chain of blessing now comes to mankind. And it's now saying that when Jesus is on the scene, he's fulfilling what it says in Isaiah. Surely he bore our infirmities and he carries away our diseases. And why is that so important? Because when Jesus comes to a town, he says the kingdom of God is near, and then he goes about doing a work of restoration to cause people to turn to the Lord. Now, think about this with me. So Jesus comes to a town. We're going to now turn to Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, and we're going to look at what he does when he engages people. Think about this. Jesus is now going to fulfill carrying our infirmities and our diseases, and when he draws near people or towns, he starts healing and restoring people. Healing and restoring is the first act of the kingdom of God to draw a city and an individual to the Lord, not the call of sin. Now, why is that so important, and why am I kind of telling you that? Because in Protestant Christianity, when Martin Luther was doing the work that he was doing in the Protestant Reformation, he was trying to recover something of how salvation is brought to mankind, and he turned that into the first work of the gospel was justification by faith, that you need to be saved. Now, does everyone need to be saved and be given eternal life? Absolutely, but it wasn't the restoration of what Martin Luther got was what was supposed to be done when we first go present the gospel to people. It's what Jesus modeled. Now, Jesus modeled that when we go into a new place, we have to break up fallow ground by showing mercy, compassion, restoration, and healing. It's what he's modeled to us. Now, are you guys ready for this? That means that I'm actually standing here and telling you that if anybody goes out in the name of the Lord and they're not healing first, they're not actually doing the way the ministry that Jesus did. Can you believe I can actually be that bold? See, I get to say that and then I get to leave and you get to deal with Chris with that. And Chris isn't going to like that when I do that kind of stuff. But think about this. How Jesus did ministry wasn't what he did in the first century, and then we can do whatever we want from that time on. He was showing us, this is how I want this to take place. This is how I'm revealed correctly to people, by showing mercy. Mercy, it is the mercy and the kindness of the Lord that draws people to repentance. And you guys ready? Most people don't even see God as being merciful, so he loves just digging up fallow ground by restoring people. It's just wonderful to watch him do this. So what we're going to see in Matthew chapter 8 is we're going to see three examples before we get to back to Matthew chapter 8:17 of how Jesus restores people. And I'll make some comments about that as we move forward. So the first one is this, Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. It says, now he's just got done giving his sermon on the mount. Beatitudes, here's what the kingdom of God is like, this is how I want you to look at prayer and divorce and giving and all these different things, and he's covered it all, and now he's coming down from the mountainside, and let's just kind of really go into the scene of what's going on here. Please remember, at this point, the nation of Israel hasn't had a prophet, they believe, in the last 300 years. So they've had an absence of this, and in the absence of it, they've become extremely religious. And so there's this call to follow God, but there's no response of the Lord back to the people, O Lord. And here comes Jesus saying, well, this is what the kingdom of God is like. And as he does it, he does something that no one in the Old Testament is doing. He's going to do this radical thing of restoring people. You know, if you try to follow healing in the Old Testament, there are promises of healing and you see examples of healing, but you do not see this explosion of healing that Jesus releases when he comes on the scene. I think the explosion of the healing ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is a demonstration that we have entered into a new time of God interacting with mankind, a new covenant. God wants to explode in restoration. He's trying to show something. What is in the future is now going to come into the present, and you're going to experience it now before you go into the future. Now, what's in the future? Wholeness. God wants you to enjoy the wholeness. Now, look, it says, when he came down from the mountain, great crowd followed him. Behold, a man with leprosy came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can cleanse me. And Jesus stretched out his hand, and he touched him and says, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priests and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." So here Jesus actually wants the healing to take place, but he also wants it to be proven that it was documented healing. So everyone says, why do we have to document healing? Because Jesus did it. Now, look at here. In this passage, this is Jesus doing the model of ripping up fallow ground. And what I mean is, when the ground becomes hard, people forget who is God. So the hard heart of men, here's how you know you can tell hardness in the land when you go someplace. People want to do action to get God to respond to them, but they don't expect God to come to them in mercy and just surprise them with his compassion. So think about this. God has ordained to, if I can use our vernacular of today, blow you out of the water with his mercy. Because we don't see him the way he is, and so the only way he can change our perception of him is come in a powerful, restorative, merciful way and shock you. So here, when the man says, "Lord, if you are willing," I find this fascinating. It shows what's going on in the nation of Israel at the time. A lot of commentators actually believe this question, "Are you willing," shows that people had lost what God was like. Because we have clearly in Exodus 15, God's one of the covenant names of the Lord is, "I am Jehovah, Rapha, the Lord who heals you." And so for the nation of Israel go, "Are you willing to heal?" is an incredible question. There's this obscure passage. I didn't write it down this morning as I was doing this, but I used to teach it when I was teaching people about prophecy. And it says this, "When the nation of Israel is away from the Lord, they perceive their prophets as madmen." Why? Because they say things like, "Well, an angel talked to me, and I had visions, and the Lord poked me." And the rest of us are so far away from the Lord, we're going, "I don't even know if God is real, for one. And two, he hardly ever talks to me." So when people talk like that, they look like they're crazy, don't they? Well, it's the same thing with the restoration ministry of the Lord. If we're far away from the Lord and God's nature is to heal and we don't see it, we actually stand back from him and try to create all these mechanisms to get restored because we actually don't believe it's God's will to do this anymore. And it's showing, do you guys see this? It's showing us something about cities and people and nations and hearts by how you perceive the Lord. So you guys ready? God doesn't say, "Well, you're far away from me, so I'll just leave you in this stuff that's going to destroy you. I'm going to come near you, and I'm going to restore who I am to you." So when he said, "Are you willing?" he's asking something about the very character of God. Is God willing to do this? Inevitably, when you get around the ministry of the Lord, there's always this question. Why I hear testimonies that God does this? I actually try to make sure that when I'm talking in the United States, I not use Africa stories, because the minute you tell an Africa story, everybody just says, "Oh, God's doing that all in Africa." I've seen God do this all over the place in the United States. I'm just using those as stories to inspire you. Think about this. God wants to answer the question that you have in your heart. Now, I see God's willing to do it for that person, but is he willing to do it here? That question is telling for what's going on in cities and nations and in our own lives. And this is what Jesus is showing. Jesus loved, when Jesus starts his ministry in a city, he loves showing compassion to people. He loves showing compassion to people. Now, healing is our inheritance. It's something we're supposed to just do all the time, just like you guys did before the service. That's normal Christianity. But most people don't see that as normal. And so God loves coming in groups that struggle with this and just show them compassion, to bring them back to the normality. Let's move on. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, and let's look at something here. Now we have another example of healing. By the way, as I'm talking to you about these examples of healings, I don't know if you guys have ever needed to be healed of something in your life, but here's what we find. We find in the body of Christ, Jesus doesn't do it one way every time. Even though ministers get up and say, "Well, this way works more than any other way," or they teach their favorite method, Jesus doesn't do that. And there's what we call a reason in the heart of God why he doesn't do that. And it's this. Ready? Healing is a journey for each person to discover a loving God. So the way he does it for me is very personal, even though it's an eternal thing for every person on the planet. God tailor makes the way he brings you into the kingdom, and he tailor makes the way he's going to restore you. And so when you hear testimonies of healing, you think, I want it that way. It's not tailor made for you. God has your own journey of restoration that he wants to take you on. Now, if we understand that God does a very personal work in each person, it causes us to seek God for our restoration instead of seeking methods. Now, we should learn the methods because we all need to know how to minister the healing ministry of the Lord, but this is a bigger question than what is the best way of doing it. The question has to go back one more step is, how does God want to restore me? Because God says he wants to. It's not happening in my life. I've tried every way that everybody tells me to. And so now how does God want to? Now we come to the centurion. It says, when he entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward and appealed to him. Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. He said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I'm not even worthy to have you to come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. I'm a man under authority. Soldiers are under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and this one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those following him, truly I tell you, no one in Israel have I found such great faith. I tell you, many will come from the east, west, north, and south and sit at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown out into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And to the centurion he said, now go, let it be done as, go let it be done as you believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment. Now, look at that. Look at the contrast here. One story, we have a person saying, Lord, if you're, I don't even know if it's your will. If you're willing, Jesus says, I'm willing. Another person says, I don't even feel like I'm worthy to be in your presence. Just say the word. And look how Jesus responds. It's beautiful. He just in a moment hears from the Holy Spirit and the Father, and he just says, go, he's healed. Now, this form of healing is called a pronouncement of healing. I get the joy to go up into Minnesota. I tell jokes about it all the time and everything, but I was up there a couple months ago, and I do a healing school in Minnesota. And this particular night we were there, I was trying to show the different ways that the Lord loves healing people. And so we were having words of knowledge being given, and there was a bunch of different things that God wanted to do, and it ended up just being four ladies up there. And I wasn't even planning on doing it this way, but all of a sudden, all four models were being demonstrated right there in front of us all. So I said, well, okay, now watch. We're going to start praying for all four of these ladies, and let's just see how the Lord's doing it. So I said, now this one, I'm going to proclaim healing over it. I said, the Lord's going to give me a word, and then I'm going to yell it over them. Not really, but I'm going to proclaim it over them, and watch, the Lord will do it. And so I'm praying for this lady. She can't hardly walk, and as we're doing it, the Lord just tells me to command her hip to be restored. So in the name of Jesus, I command the hip to be restored. She just kind of does this really cool move, and then I said, well, how are you doing? And she just kind of doesn't talk to me and walks off from me, which that's kind of scary when you're trying to minister and model to people because you don't know if you've offended them. Finally, she's on the other side of the room, and I said, well, how are you doing? And she goes, oh, this is, I don't understand this. I have no more pain. Now, isn't that wonderful? Jesus just doing that. Well, and you guys understand, when people say, I don't understand it, it's hard to understand having all this pain and it just lift off. And while she's saying that, this other lady just walks off from the group too. It was actually the hardest group of people to pray for because they just thought it was okay to just walk off before I ministered to them. And this other lady just starts walking off from me. And so everybody's looking at me, and I'm looking at her, and I'm like, hey, what are you doing? And she goes, well, she actually says back to me, you need to be quiet for a moment. And so I'm like, oh, okay. You guys honor me a lot because you sit and listen to what I say. If you go to other meetings I'm at, most people don't listen to me. They get up and walk around. I don't even know if you know the Lord most of the time. They challenge me. It's really chaotic. You guys don't do that. Thank you. A few moments later, I'm moving on to another person. I'm praying for her, and I'm looking at her, and she turns around and looks at me, and I said, well, what's going on? And she said, well, I just heard the Lord tell me, start walking, and I'll restore you. Now, she was crippled. She had severe back pain. She just starts walking. Now, see, you can't take credit for any of that because I didn't get to tell her to do any of that stuff. Here, Jesus is choosing to heal the way that he wants to heal. And she just starts walking off, and she's healed. Now, what I thought was exciting, first, the healing's exciting. But what I thought was actually exciting is what happened to her face, her countenance. Not only did she get restored in her body, she got restored in her love back to the Lord. You could just see joy filling her heart. Let's keep moving on with this story here. Now, if you look at verse 14, this we went down to 17, but if you look at 14, now what we're seeing. Now, this one, I love this story. It says, when Jesus entered Peter's house, his mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever. He touched her with his hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and began to serve them. And that's, okay, so that's taking place, and I'll talk about that in a minute. And then it says, and then evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirit with a word and healed all that were sick. Now this was what was full of what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Surely he bore our infirmities and carried away our diseases. So let's go to this one. He enters his mother-in-law's house, and she's laying there sick. Now, in Luke's passage, let me make sure I get this one correct. In Luke's passage, it says that he laid hands on her and rebuked the fever. Here in Matthew, it says he just laid hands on her. And I remember going, why can't these guys get this story correct? And the Lord actually said, because it works both ways. Now, in my younger days, I did not believe the healing ministry was available today. Because we had, I mean, really, we had doctors, and we had medicine, and Jesus just doesn't need to do this anymore. We have all this stuff. And so my learning curve of this started one Sunday. I was in the church I was going to in Pueblo, Colorado. And there was a gentleman. I used to like sitting in the front row when I was a younger man, because if you sit in the back, have you guys ever sat in the back of a church? There's so much going on, it's hard to pay attention to what's being, I mean, because people are screaming and yelling and rolling around and doing all that stuff. And so I used to like sitting in the front two rows so I could hear what the pastor was saying. I wanted to hear so I could be taught. So I'm sitting in the second row, and in the front row over towards the aisle was this gentleman in a wheelchair. And he's in proximity to me, and I'm singing hymnals. That's how we worshiped in the church I was going to. I'm singing hymnals, and I'm worshiping the Lord, and I'm just kind of taking a breath, and I'm turning the page. And as I'm doing this, I hear this thought go through my head. If you put your hands on that guy, he'll be healed. This guy in a wheelchair. Now, I wasn't comfortable with the voice of the Lord. I didn't know how to test or anything. And I thought, where did that come from? But it came again. If you lay hands on this man, he'll be healed. Now, I would encourage you, don't hang around with me when this kind of stuff goes on, because I'll fight it, and then I'll ultimately do it. So I thought, well, what's the worst thing that could happen? No one knows what I'm doing. I'm just going to, and I'm a wimp when I first have to try stuff. So I thought the best way to lay hands on him was to massage his shoulders for him. And so we had a break, and I just kind of got up and started massaging his shoulder, and I'm just like, I wonder what's going to happen now. And I just get done massaging his shoulder, and he thanks me. And then I sit back down, and I look at the guy. And I thought, I knew that wasn't the Lord. What was that? That's ridiculous. And I just kind of, I'm not going to pay attention to that stuff anymore. And so I'm back on to living my Christian experience. Now, to talk about just dull of heart and not perceptive of anything that's going on around me, okay? Seriously, nothing going on around me. I'm just living my Christian experience, doing all this stuff. I'm invited to this guy's wedding, right? He's getting married. And I hadn't seen him in the last couple months. I walk into the church, and we're in the sanctuary, and I'm waiting for the pastor and the groom to come out. And I'm waiting, I'm trying to figure out, hey, I wonder how they're going to get his wheelchair up on the stage, because it doesn't look like it's wheelchair friendly. And the pastor walks out, and that guy walks out, and he's not in his wheelchair. And I looked at my wife, and I said, what do you think happened to him? She goes, well, you didn't hear? And I said, no. And he said, well, he just gradually started getting better. And then all of a sudden, he just said all of a sudden he woke up one day and just realized he had strength in his body, and he just got out of his wheelchair. The doctors said all they could figure out, it was a miracle. And I thought, God, that's just, I wonder what happened. I mean, who did that? Now, that's the point. Think about this with me. Jesus is obeying what he's being led to do, and he's just laying hands on somebody. Did you guys realize we say this, but I really want you to think about it for a minute. you carry the very presence and the glory of God around you and in you, and in you. Let me say it correctly. In you. So that actually means that, can I say it in the right way? You're actually permeated with the glory of the Lord constantly. You're permeated with it. You guys in the garden, when Adam and Eve were first created, obviously they had no clothing. Do you know why they had no clothing? Because they said the glory of God was so bright around them, that was their covering. Remember, we were to represent the Lord when we were first created on this planet. And so could you imagine man and women walking in the garden and they have the glorious light of God's presence around them so that when creation sees Adam, they go, was that God or Adam? That's how much we were supposed to represent God. When man fell, that's what lifted off is the Shekinah, noticeable presence of the Lord. And now what has Jesus restored back to you? He's restored back to you. The very God is living inside of you, and you're permeated with him. So that idea, I'm not going to transition into another teaching, but in the Old Testament, it has this idea that when you lay hands on somebody, just by that very act, that's why God was trying to teach fathers to lay hands on their children and to bless them, there was a transference of the glory of God to touch people. Whether you knew what was going on or not, God wanted to create a community that laid hands on each other, touched each other, and blessed each other so God could come and just release his glory on people. And that's what Jesus is picking up on here. He's now coming into a room. He's not even doing a healing ministry. He's just laying hands on someone, and the presence and the glory of God is saturating a person, and they're getting restored. Isn't that wonderful? So another way that Jesus loves healing people. And then there's this reality of the multiplication of Jesus' healing ministry. Think about it. Once one person gets restored, all of a sudden it just awakens everybody, and then everybody wants to come. Healing, can I say this the best way I know how? Healing is one of the most powerful catalysts to demonstrate the mercy of the Lord to a group of people. And the body of Christ, I've noticed this in my life as I've seen the Lord talk about it. I've noticed it as people have tried to raise it up. It's hard to raise up healing ministry and keep it going consistently because of the struggle that goes on with spiritual warfare with it and the getting bored with it and all that kind of stuff. But if we could keep a consistency of restoration going on, it begins to draw communities to the mercy of the Lord. We've been given an opportunity. I was sharing the other day with some people. We've been given this opportunity when I come now once a month, and Saturday morning we go to a food bank, the biggest food bank up in Denver, Colorado, and they asked us specifically to come to preach the gospel and actually heal the sick and stuff like that. And so a team of us have been doing this. The first week we were there, or the second time, I can't remember, it's starting to blur now, but one of the team members had a word of knowledge for someone. You have problems breathing. And this older gentleman raised his hand. And so I wasn't the guy doing that. So I went over there, and I went over there to pray with him. So I'm praying with him, and I'm like, well, what do you have? And I have asthma. And how long have you had it? Well, I've had it for a long period of time, and my body aches all the time. And this is a person, this is a food bank. You guys realize these people are struggling. Some people know the Lord, some people do not know the Lord. They're coming from all different nations. I mean, that food bank is literally a microcosm of the world. And when I went over there to pray with him, I said, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to just ask the Lord to come and restore you, and I'm just praying a simple prayer. See, it doesn't have to be eloquent because it's not about that. It's about reaching out to people. Lord, just restore his soul. Bless him and be with him. I said, well, how do you feel? And he says, well, the restriction in my chest has lifted off. I said, anything else? He goes, well, I don't know yet. I went, okay. I thanked him that I could pray for him, and then I just went on. Well, I was there yesterday morning. Wow, seems like a long time ago. I was there yesterday morning, and I was talking with someone, and he grabbed me, and he said, hey, can I just talk to you for a minute? And I said, sure. And this guy loves to talk, so once he had me for 30 minutes. But in the process of it, he started telling me, hey, do you remember when you prayed for me? Yeah, I do. And he said, well, he says, I can breathe. And he says, I have no more pain in my body, and it's not come back. And he says, I'm just so happy. He says, I can walk now, and I can get exercise, and I have life coming back. And he was a veteran, and he was an older gentleman, and here he's feeling newness of life, and now it's inspiring him to go to the VA and even show compassion towards people. The healing ministry of the Lord has a cascading effect in people's lives. When God touches people with his mercy, what it does is it ignites them to show mercy to people. It's the tangible demonstration of who God is in the midst of us. The tangible demonstration of who God is in the midst of us. God's healing presence. And then I like this. I don't know if you guys want to go here with me, but think about this. There's a catalyst, an event where God starts healing one or two people, and then what we see is God loves upping the ante of compassion, and then he starts restoring more and more people, and then what happens is he starts coming to cities and restoring cities. Think about it. There's a progression of restoration that God wants us all to enter into. Healing has to become common in the body of Christ, and then we have to expect God to make it so common that it's going out of the walls and into the community. And it's now being used as the most dramatic tool to draw men to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is. Healing is the most dramatic tool to draw people to the Lord Jesus Christ. One more Africa story, and then I will be done. First year we were in Africa, we were doing crusades, if you can imagine, or evangelistic events, whatever term you like, and we're around 5,000 or 6,000 people. And I'm up on the stage, I've presented the gospel, a couple hundred people have come forward, they've accepted the Lord, and so I'm on this stage. By the way, the stage was hilarious because I don't know how they made it, do you remember that? It looked like it was going to fall down almost all the time. So when you got up on the stage, you knew you were taking your own life in your own hands, and you had to trust that there were angels with you and all that kind of fun stuff. Well, I was actually up on the stage, and while I'm up there, the Lord just says something simple to me. He says, I want crippled people to raise their hands because I want to heal them. So, you know, you're doing this through an interpreter. I said, hey, is there anyone here that's crippled that needs prayer? Well, one of the guys around the front row, well, he raises his hand. I mean, actually, his cane up at us. And the Lord just said, now just ask me to come. Oh, Holy Spirit, would you just come right now? All right, that's all I prayed. And I'm just standing up there, and I'm just kind of watching people and all this fun event of people that are coming to know the Lord and stuff. And I said, hey, does anyone have a testimony of the Lord touching him? Well, that guy with the cane raises his cane again. So we go down. We get down to where he's at. That's kind of hard to do on a stage. And we're putting the microphone by him, and we're like, well, what happened? And he said, well, I said, I've been crippled my whole life. And that guy said, if you want prayer for your body, just, you know, raise your hand. And he said, Holy Spirit, come. And when he said it, he said, this lightning bolt actually shot through my body. And he said, my bones started getting strong, and I've tested it out, and now I can walk. And he said, so he's just sitting there waving the cane in front of everybody. I can walk. Do you know what that did? The rest of the week, it kept drawing more and more people to come to the Lord, more and more healings to take place. It was a catalytic event. Because when God demonstrates himself that way, it doesn't just touch the person, it touches everybody that is observing it. Now think about it. I'm actually covering three different topics all at one time. Taking cities for God is the concept of showing the mercy of God, and one of the most powerful ways that God does that is by showing compassion and restoring us. All right. Could you guys turn your attention? I'm going to pray a gentle prayer here, and then we're going to ask the Lord to come and restore us. Now, as real quick, I'm going to give some words of knowledge that the Lord gave me. If it is not for your condition, it does not mean the Lord does not want to restore you. It means you need to turn to the Lord and say, how do you want to do this for me? Okay? All right, so Lord, could you come and just bring restoration to our souls? Could you reorient ourselves, refocus ourselves to follow your heart when it comes to people? Would you begin to let us see people where they're at, Lord? And would you break open the cistern of compassion inside of us? Bring your power, God. Bring your presence. Let us see people that are in need, and let us begin to extend our hands to them, Lord. And teach us, Lord, I really ask, teach us your ways, oh God. Teach us your ways. And we just bless you and thank you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.